For WAMC News, I'm Jim Lavoulis. Solar is a key piece of New York's goal of reaching 70% renewable energy generation by 2030 under the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act. With farmland seen by solar companies as prime real estate for their arrays, new research from Cornell University considers how to best balance solar development with the state's agricultural sector and food production needs. I spoke with Max Jong, the study's senior author and professor of mechanical engineering at Cornell.
You know, New York is really the frontier of solar development in the country, right? So, and we have very aggressive goal for the climate, and you know, have a goal for solar, and it's really exciting. It's really exciting place to be, and it's a very critical time in history, right? So, for us to make a difference.
And in your study, you make the argument that solar companies need to use lower quality agricultural land for their projects in New York. Now, when making that determination, how do you define good agricultural land versus lower quality land?
So there are multiple definition for that. One is soil quality. I think that's typically a key indicator of the land. I think we are in our study, we use that as a key indicator for the good, to tell whether it's a good agricultural land or low quality agricultural land.
You also say in the study that solar power developers need to avoid concentrated development. Why?
So the idea here is, for example, you have a solar farm in your region, right? So and if one farm being leased for developing solar projects, it's probably fine. But if you take more than that, some of those service companies, for example, a tractor company, they may have to leave the region because there's not enough business for them to stay there. So that's why we argue that we should try to avoid have too concentrated development of solar projects so that we can still maintain reasonable agricultural activities.
And taking a look at the map that goes along with your study, the land deemed most suitable for solar power development in New York is concentrated mostly in western and northern New York, along with some scattered pockets throughout central New York and the Mohawk Valley, along with some additional spots in the Hudson Valley. Now, does that reality make it difficult to avoid that concentration of solar developments that you just mentioned, especially since a large amount of the energy consumption actually occurs in New York City?
That's a challenge, right? So the suitable land, at least based on our analysis, tend to be concentrated around the region, as you mentioned here. So that's why I think the policy is really important here, right? So we know there's a potential consequences for concentrated solar development in certain regions. So so that's why we also want to emphasize that there are other strategies we need to take to avoid them.
What are some of those other strategies?
One strategy, of course, is to use low quality land, like we just discussed, right? So, but if we have to use agricultural land, we should explore so-called dual use option, or so-called agrovoltaic, agriculture photovoltaic options. I think there's a lot of interesting idea. Actually, a lot of the idea has been implemented on a individual basis by solar developers, and we should promote those best practice in what we call low impact solar farm.
And now your study mentions that taking into account New York's 9-gigawatt goal for offshore wind, the state will need about 21 gigawatts of utility scale solar energy to reach its target of 70% renewable energy generation by 2030. But you also state that the utility scale solar energy potential on non-agricultural land is more than 22 gigawatts. So why not just use that non-agricultural land?
That's a really good question. So the really boil down to economics, right? So there are land, there are other type of land available, but there's a reason why, for example, our study show 40% of existing solar farms already on agricultural land, right? So there's a good reason why we see this, you know, solar taking over the agricultural land because the agricultural land are typically flat and cleared of vegetation and close to road and to the power infrastructure, right? So those are all the same criteria the solar developer are looking for to lower their cost. So we are basically our argument here, yes, they are available land, but without any policy intervention, we'll see a lot of the future solar one will be on agricultural land.
So amid all this, what would be your advice to farmers and landowners in New York amid this solar push?
That's also a very good question, right? You know, I'm not a farmer, right? I'm just providing our opinion or scientific basis for what we think is right thing to do. But at the same time, I'm not speaking of, you know, for the farmer. So I would say they are, you know, firstly, I want to emphasize it's very critical for us to take actions to combat the climate change, right? So there's no, and the solar energy is playing a very, very important role here, right? And, you know, solar PV is generally a environmentally benign technology, right? There are no pollution on site. Also, it's a relatively low maintenance, right? So, but it's a very land use intensive. So that's why we are talking about here. You know, typically we talk about 5 to 7 acres per megawatt of solar installation, right? So, and, you know, right now the typically utility scale solar farm is about 5 megawatt. And if we take the lower end, say 5 acres land, right, per megawatt for 5 megawatt, that's 25 acre land. You know, 25 acre land, I did a rough estimation, is about 20 football field, right? And so that's why the farmers, you know, once again, back to your question, farmers had to make a, you know, make a choice, right? So, and I think there's a role for the farming community, agricultural community to play in combat the climate change. But also the argument here is that's not really, we argue this is not a zero-sum game here, especially if we can explore this dual-use agrivoltaic options. And I think we are able, you know, I think we are hoping, right? So New York can take a leading role instead of a model for the rest of the country to follow in a large-scale solar deployment, but at the same time preserving agricultural land or preserving agricultural activities for food security, right?
And now shifting away from the study and even land-based solar for a second here, one community in the Albany area, the city of Cohoes, is considering floating solar panels on its reservoir, potentially leading to a 3 million megawatt array. Could projects like that take the pressure off some of the land-based solar projects?
Right. So that's also a very good option. Actually, those are already being implemented on once again, on an individual basis in Europe and other part of the world, right? So I think that could be a very good option. You know, we do have... Say in New York, we do have a reasonable, you know, water body surface, right? So those can be potentially utilized for solar development and taking the pressure from agricultural activity. Having said that, you know, there are other, you know, consequences or impact that we have to closely follow for this type of implementation.
So from where we stand today, do you think New York will meet its solar goals?
I think we will. You know, we the current goal, right, is 60 gigawatt of solar by 2025. That's the, you know, specific goal we have at present. And we already halfway there. So, you know, like I said, New York really the frontier. I mean, you know, I'm really... I'm really proud of what the, you know, solar industry have accomplished in New York. And I have no doubt that we'll achieve our solar goal. But once again, my point here is, but at the same time, I'm promoting this low-impact solar development practice. And this is going to be a collaboration between solar developers and community and our government. So I think that we have tremendous opportunities to do the thing right in the state of New York.
Max Zhang is a professor in the Sibley School of Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering at Cornell University. Max, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.